This is KUOW's The Record. I'm Bill Radke. How do you mix family, politics, and stuffing? Donald Trump has people riled up going into the holiday, so do we address the election at the family gathering or pretend politics don't exist? I know where I come down on this. What about you? Would you please call us right now at 206-543-5869? That's 206-543-KUOW, because we're going to take a few of your phone calls live. Tell us your story. When have you seen holiday politics go well? When have you seen it go so horribly wrong? We will take your phone calls live right now. 206-543-5869, 543-KUOW. We're also tweeting at KUOW if you just want to be concise. And we're going to bring in our friend Luke Burbank, host of Live Wire on KUOW. Hey, Luke.
Hello, Bill.
You got your own story, and we're going to listen to callers together.
Yes, I have stories. I think I'm the only other public radio host who comes from a family the size of yours, Bill.
Yes.
So with just the sheer number of people and opinions that sort of cycle through the Burbank household on Thanksgiving, there's bound to be some friction.
Yes, and you have a scriptural wrinkle in that as well that I'm not dealing with in my family.
That's right. We don't even argue as much about politics as we do about the things that politics are meant to address.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes any sense?
I think
And we'll get into this in a little bit, but
okay. It's
not like Republicans versus Democrats. It's people who think I'm going to hell versus people who don't think I'm going to hell.
Okay, let's you and me and him talk Thanksgiving and hell, possibly, depending on how it's gone for you. Tell us your story at 543-5869. We hit the streets last week and we asked people in the university district what concerns they have when it comes to talking with family over the holiday.
I'm nervous to talk about politics because I know it's going to come up because I always have to try to get in there and talk to my dad about it, even though we always end up like fighting.
My family dynamic's interesting. So my mom's white. I'm half black.
I mean, that's probably the biggest thing that I've been thinking about lately is that he doesn't believe in climate change. And I have this really big obsession with becoming a dad in the near future. And I think to myself, like, Dad, how can you be screwing over your grandchildren?
But I think when I'm talking with my family, it is a little bit more sensitive because to know that some of the most racist people I know are my family members is actually really painful.
Well, I'm from Texas and my family's all from Texas and in Texas, and they are red-blooded Republicans and proud to be such. And I am a Democrat, so I'm the blue sheep in the family.
Since my grandpa is a white male and he doesn't see that everyone who's a person of color in our family is treated differently and acts differently in different settings than he does, I don't know if I would be brave enough to approach him with that conversation. I think if anybody is, it's going to be you or Kiki, because she's my little sister is a little more than I am.
My parents are divorced, and my mom and her family are Republicans, and they've expressed kind of opposition to same-sex marriage in America. And my father is gay. I don't feel like I can say anything because I'm outnumbered, but on the other hand, I don't want to stay quiet because I want to, you know, say what I believe. I want to stand up for what I believe in.
We always end up fighting, but I don't want to stay quiet because I want to say what I believe. This is exactly why I don't talk politics at Thanksgiving. I realize I may be in the minority. I recommend you also put your head in the sand or in the stuffing. But Luke Burbank, are you attempting the political mix?
Well, the dynamics in my family are the line that things break down along is my parents and my aunts and uncles, what you consider to be maybe the bit older generation, mm-hmm. on one side of thing, and then the kids and their spouses, because most of us are married, on the other side. Meaning the adults at this get-together that I'm going to be going to this week, it's 18 to 4 young
okay.
people. So the adults, I think, have, in fact, not just they haven't just sort of been hoping that we wouldn't talk politics. There was an official request made through Facebook to members of the family from the older generation
uh-huh.
that we not talk about politics.
Of course, because you've got numbers.
That's exactly
don't.
Right.
Yeah.
So
you're going to honor that?
Well, based on the Electoral College, somehow they have more people at Thanksgiving. I don't get it, but
weird.
It's a quirk in our electoral system. So going into this Thanksgiving get together, there I think is definitely going to be an attempt to leave politics alone. But I come from Irish Catholic people who are not able to keep any thoughts or feelings inside.
Uh-huh.
And we're looking at like 8 hours of food prep together.
Yeah.
All of us gathered around in the kitchen.
You're doing that. You're doing the full-on togetherness, not just the show up.
Thanksgiving is a high holiday in the Burbank household because when I was a little kid, we didn't really celebrate Christmas, so Thanksgiving took on all of this importance. So everybody is showing up at my folks' house tonight, and then tomorrow morning, get up at the crack of 8 o'clock, watch the Macy's parade, and then start making the food together. So this is a really long period of time for no one to crack.
Yes.
And it's at the very front, certainly of the younger people, my sisters. I have 4 sisters and 2 brothers. And for the people of our age, I'm the oldest of the family, it's right at the front of our brain. It's going to be so hard to chop carrots and not say, if you nick your finger, welcome to Trump's America.
Right. I'm chopping onions. Yeah. I haven't cried like this since.
Right.
Everyone's like, is he going to say it?
Right. Yeah. So I'm not sure if this detente is going to hold or not. What I do know is that historically these arguments in my family have never ended well.
Mm-hmm.
And we get into arguments about a lot of things. The rules of Scrabble.
Yeah. Now that's worth arguing about.
If somebody was cheating at charades,
mm-hmm.
like when the Christmas music should come on, I'm a very strong believer that it is not until the Thanksgiving dishes have been cleared.
Okay, that's
it. So there are so many things to argue about. And what I've learned, though, is that no one ever has their mind changed on anything of any importance by being harangued over the Thanksgiving Day table. So I've got a theory, which is just try to, I think, be the best version of yourself.
Hmm.
Because what you will do is you will put a face on a political persuasion. So it'll be harder if you could argue with someone across the turkey and try to talk them into believing your way of seeing the world, you're probably not going to have success.
Hmm.
But if you're just a generally great person to be around, it's going to be hard for them to put all people who support that political ideology that you do, it's going to be hard for them to just put them all in this camp of like a bunch of bleeding heart liberals or a bunch of heartless conservatives. It's harder for people to do that when they have a real person that identifies with whatever that thing is. So just be that.
Okay, so then let's argue about what it means to be the best version of yourself. Let's argue until we resent one another. With your help, tell us a story of how political disagreement has gone well around the holidays or gone south of cheese. 206-543-5869. What lesson did you learn? What lesson did you learn that we can benefit from? 206-543-5869. Let's go to Kate in Tacoma. Hey, Kate.
Hi.
What's your story, Kate?
Thanks for bringing this topic up. I just wanted to share a little story. I'm going to dinner with friends and their family. I have no idea what their politics are, and I got a call this morning from a good friend of mine doing the same thing, going to Thanksgiving dinner with her longtime friends, but she called me this morning from, like, hidden away in a closet or the bathroom or something, whispering into the phone saying, oh, my God, they're all Trumpers. What should I do? So I think it's a big question when you don't know what the politics are going to be around the table.
That's Thanksgiving Russian roulette. What did you tell your friend?
We just talked about it, and she said, I'll call you later. I think they're coming now. So it was like it felt like an espionage call or something.
We need to get back with your friend and find out how this went.
Tell your friend to blink twice into the phone if she's tied up. It's not going to help. But
okay, will do. Hey, thanks. I'm listening in.
Good luck, Kate. We're talking to Sharon in Oak Harbor on KOW. Sharon, what's your story?
Well, we've never had a problem with politics in the family. We've all seen kind of liberally, progressively, et cetera. But this election, some of the family members voted differently because they wanted to change and saw that it was the only way to go. And I have a son-in-law who's from the Caribbean, and therefore I have grandchildren who are seen as brown. And so for their family, it was very, very upsetting to think that some of the other family members voted for Trump, who they saw as someone who would bring danger to their family. So it was very, very, very just disruptive. And what we did is agree to handle it. It was important to talk about it, but important maybe to talk about it one-on-one with when they were in a place where they were able to really listen to each other and to hear what one another had to say rather than be in a defense mode, anger mode, and who's going to win. So with that the background of, and Thanksgiving coming up, the couple, my son and daughter and son-in-law who are hosting it, send out a protocol that said, you know, we're not going to say politics or issues cannot be brought up, but what we are going to say is, while you're in our home, we want things to be done with gentleness and civility and generosity toward one another. So if those kind of conversations come up, that's how we will deal with them. I think what was important for us as a family is to realize that we hadn't listened deeply to one another. Some people were afraid to say what they were worried about. And so what we've decided to do is it's important to now begin to listen to one another from that place of just listening to hear, which I think is majorly missing in our society. So that's how we're dealing with it, and we'll see how Thanksgiving goes tomorrow.
It sounds a little ambiguous because you said that you want to just talk about it one-on-one, but is it okay to bring it up in the group as long as, and just you hope that we all have the same definition of civility?
That's the Thanksgiving protocol is, yes, it's okay to bring it up if it comes up. And let's try to remember that we're adults and we can hear each other and that we can, we don't have to go into fighting, defend mode, that we want to be able to just hear from the other person where they're at. Why, if they voted opposite to what I voted for, what was it in it that took their vote? And also, I think some people who voted, and now is seeing a possible impact, they're probably would like to say, why did I goof? We don't know, but yeah, they can be brought up, but what really is important is that we're encouraging each other to talk about where they're at and why they're there and why they voted the way they did and what they want for the country and the family. And we found that when doing it one-on-one, because I have 9 children, so we have a large family.
Everybody in this room has 9 kids in their family.
I know. Well, that was a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
Not much anymore. But, you know, I think what we have all come out of it with is, the power and the necessity to begin to hear one another in our differences in a way that we're not debating, but we're there just to hear.
But Sharon, I want to hear from Luke too, but Sharon, my question is, what is your goal? Can you honestly say that your goal to change someone's mind? Because
no.
In my experience, when people say we just want to listen, boy, it's hard to not actually want to convince the other person of something.
No. When our goal is to listen, and in the listening, just let that person be heard, and they see the world yellow, I see the world blue. And if we can't do that in diversity, I mean, we're not ever going to all see the world the same way. So we're all going to act differently. But what's the common is, do we care about our family? We have different ways of hoping it comes to be. But if we can't listen just to hear one another without changing another person's mind, that's never going to happen. We are diverse, unique. We see things differently. And how can we build a culture in which diversity becomes enrichment rather than alienation?
Sharon, thank you
for
that.
That's our goal in our family.
I think that's a really good point that Sharon's making, this idea of maybe we can call it radical listening.
Mm-hmm.
This idea that you're not just waiting for your chance to throw in your little opinion or fact that is going to completely corner the other person in the argument, but taking a moment to actually listen. I used to be actually a much more conservative person than I sort of currently am. And I know that back when I was very conservative, I didn't get up in the morning and think, boy, how can I make this country a bad place? And now that I tend to be more progressive, I don't get up in the morning and think, how can I make this country a worse place? Wherever somebody is on the political spectrum, they're actually doing their best. They're actually supporting ideas that they think are going to make the country better. We might disagree about what those are, but listening to somebody and actually trying to really hear them, I think, is a super powerful thing. I play a lot of poker, and they say in poker, one of the most powerful things you can do is fold. People think it's like betting more than the other person. Folding, knowing when it's time to go for it and when it's time to not go for it, is a hugely valuable skill set to have in poker. And I think in conversations, listening is a really powerful thing also.
Here's my concern, though. What are the odds that everybody around that Thanksgiving table also practices radical listening? It seems to me the odds are so low that I'd rather practice radical how about them Huskies or radical. How are your kids doing? You know, how's April doing? How's Asia doing? Radical anything but politics, because you're just together for this short time, and I say punt.
But you could also be missing an opportunity.
Punt into the Palouse wind.
That's right. Speaking of the Apple Cup. Mm. I think you could be missing an opportunity, though, if you don't talk about it at all. Because this might be, for some of our listeners, one of the few times since the election that they've actually been in really close contact with somebody who has a totally different political worldview than them.
Mm-hmm.
And to just talk about, boy, those Black Friday sales, those are going to be some humdingers. Like, that could be a missed opportunity. And to the question of if everyone's going to be able to practice this art of listening to each other, maybe not, but I bet the chances of a civil conversation go up tremendously the more people that are doing that. Like, you know, it takes two to tango. And so if most of the people are just listening and really talking from the heart but not getting totally out of control with it, I have a feeling that that will bring the whole conversation into some sort of order. Can I tell you who's not practicing radical listening, Bill? My parents, regarding Costco. I need to read you very quickly. I know we have other things to talk
about. This is clearly bugging you, so I like
while we've been here talking, this text message chain my family's on, which has been titled Gobble Gobble.
Of course.
Has been just lighting up. And it's basically my
Gobble till you wobble, by
my
the way.
Parents trying to – my job is to pick up the last-minute provisions, mm-hmm. like the sparkling cider, the rolls, some stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So my parents keep giving me these updates on what time the Costco in Silverdale is open until. And I keep telling them that's fine. I'm not going to go to the Costco. It's going to cost me $10 more. It's totally worth it. Every time I say that, they come back. Then my mom's response to me saying I wasn't going to go to Costco, Luke, Costco is open till 8:30. It will slow down by 7 or so. And then I respond. I said, Mom, I can't stress this enough. I'm not going to Costco. And then my dad says, Luke and I will stop at Costco on our way to the house from the ferry tonight. They are not listening to me about not going to Costco. It's not worth it to me.
You're making my point. What are the odds if they can't listen around Costco that they're going to listen around?
Well, politics is only the future of our country. Costco, I mean, that's a difference of 80 cents.
Fair enough.
If you pay full retail for that sparkling cider.
Good point. We heard a moment ago from, by the way, we're taking your story at 206-543-5869, 543-KUOW. We just heard from Sharon in Oak Harbor, and now Margaret in Seattle. Margaret, do you have a story for us of Thanksgiving and family and politics? Margaret, are you there? Margaret is carefully weighing.
Are you there, Margaret? It's me, God.
You should weigh your words. This is important. Okay, how about we hear? We did go to Seattle's University District and asked for some advice, suggestions on mixing family politics turkey. Here you go.
Just breathe. Just don't even worry about it. If the topic comes up, just take the higher road and just kind of shrug it off. There shouldn't be a food fight on Thanksgiving, I think.
I think advice I would give people is that to stay open and like to hear other people's point of views, but also state your own opinions because it can change the conversation and kind of help people understand kind of where you're coming from.
So if I don't really want to necessarily instigate tough conversations, but I feel like we need to at this point. But I'm also avoiding it by being at work on Thanksgiving, so...
Part of how you solve issues like this with hate and bigotry is you talk about it and you get viewpoints so you understand where everybody's coming from. If you look at it, you know, more divisively and like this is your enemy and us versus them kind of concept, you're never going to reach a conclusion, at least not one that's safe.
If we can't discuss things close to our hearts, how are we going to be human? You know, we need to be able to express that emotion and have a safe place to do so. And I think it does need to start with the families.
It's about love and just understanding. And if it's a topic that really makes you angry, then don't bring it up.
This sounds so cliched, but really being open-minded. And from whatever perspective you come from, really just at least giving it a shot.
One of the aunts tends to come in and say, let's stop this, typically with coffee or pie or Jameson.
I mean, I honestly would just say, you know that other people feel differently and that's okay, and you don't have to agree. A lot of my conversations just end in let's agree to disagree.
If agree to disagree is your best case scenario and the worst case scenario is tears and broken dishes and heading out into the night high on Jameson, I would argue, what's the point? But I think you feel differently. I respect our differences.
You have to have a backup plan, though, Bill, which is maybe probably the smartest approach is to just sort of leave it alone. But there's a great likelihood that it will still come up. And then what are you going to do?
That is true.
I'm promoting a belt and suspenders approach to this Thanksgiving.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And I have one more idea I want to throw out there, which is instead of trying to win the argument, like get the other person to admit that who they voted for president was the wrong choice or that the country is doomed for whatever reason, maybe just try to plant an acorn of knowledge. Listen to them. Tell them how you really feel also respectfully. Mm. And if you can just drop one little seed into their mind about looking at this thing differently in one small way, you might come back next year and there might be a mighty oak tree of this metaphor is breaking down. But the point is, maybe don't try to like totally win the argument as much as just get one point across and just let it lie.
Let it lie. I like that. Okay, let's hear from Joaquin in Seattle. Joaquin, what's your experience? Do you have a story?
Absolutely. Well, you know, when we look at the United States of America, and background from East Africa, it's totally different about politics. We talk so much about politics, but I'm so proud to be here in the United States when I look at, and we have so much pressure when we choosing, but after we choose, the election is over, everything is, they're going to make peace in between them, the two against each other gone, and at last, that kind of thing they do. So I'm just, want to advise everybody, please don't take for granted. The country we are in, it is absolutely a brilliant people, and we agree, we go for everything for granted. You know, we just have to go for the flow, and they say, let's give this guy a chance. Let's see what he's going to make for our country, for our beautiful and wonderful country, what he's going to do. That's what I'm going to say, and I really thank you.
Thank you so much, Joaquin, in Seattle. Give Trump a chance. We'll have plenty of time to get back together at St. Patrick's Day.
It's also
Easter and assess.
When the Jameson really flows.
Really?
Talking about Easter.
Yes.
How we do it at my house. I think Joaquin makes also a very good point, Bill, which is like, there's a lot of hand-wringing, particularly in my social circles, a lot of hair pulling out. This is still a pretty awesome country to live in. And the fact that there is a peaceful transition of power is pretty amazing. And so I think keeping that in perspective is an important thing, too.
Right. It's not necessarily papering over your worries, but if you can find something, as Joaquin did, something to say that is optimistic, that's hopeful at least, going into the dark days of winter or the bright morning of Trumpism, depending on your point of view. If you can find that, as you were saying, and plant an acorn of knowledge and then come up with something upbeat,
Let's keep it in perspective a little bit. This is still a pretty good place to live, in my opinion, warts and all.
Luke Burbank, it's going to be a pretty good place to be in a couple of weeks or so at the Neptune in Seattle. Tell us about your Live Wire show.
Well, I host a show called Live Wire that's on KUOW on Saturday afternoons. It's a variety
5
show.
O'clock.
That's right. And on December 9th, we're going to be over at the Neptune. We're going to be recording the show live in front of a live audience. We've got Maria Semple there, who I know you've had on your show before.
Yeah.
Misha Collins, who's an actor. He's on the TV show Supernatural. He's an all-around interesting guy. And Giassi Ross, who I know about from this show.
From Week in Review.
That's right.
Of the show.
So all-around amazing person as well. And we've got some music happening, and I'll be there, I think.
You think?
Presuming I'm still hosting the show, whatever, 9 or so days from now, I will be there. We hope to see everyone in the KUOW listening audience as well. You can get tickets by going to livewireradio.org.